The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is teaching late into the day, into the dinner hour, when the disciples realize that all these people need to eat and that it was too far and too late to send them away. Jesus tells the disciples to feed them, but they say they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes, blesses, and breaks the bread, just like at communion. And more than 5,000 people, including women and children, are fed. And there are even leftovers, 12 baskets full, more than when they started. An amazing moment, one of the most famous and most beloved of all of Jesus' miracles. Too often, I think, we relegate miracles to the Bible. They can seem far too unrealistic or out of line with what we know scientifically about how the world works. But miracle stories, when you come down to it, are simply stories that are designed to inspire faith and engender hope. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus is meant for us to say, "Wow, Jesus must be God's son. Look at what he did." But it is also meant to show us his compassion and mercy. It's meant to reassure us and give us hope that in our physical and spiritual hunger, God is there and will meet us in our need. In fact, there are ordinary miracles all around us all the time. Martin Luther talked about life's ordinary miracles. He said, "People say, what's so special about the fact that the sun shines, fire gives warmth, the ocean provides fish, the earth yields grain, cows have calves, people give birth to children, and hens lay eggs? These things happen every day. Is something insignificant just because it happens every day? God showers people with rich and wonderful blessings, but how ungrateful and blind people are. They don't recognize these blessings as amazing miracles from God, so they don't admire them, give thanks for them, or act happy about them." He says that we only marvel at those things that appear to be extraordinary, but the ordinary and everyday things are worthy of our attention and awe. Time and again in life, God takes so little and turns it into so much. You may remember that in John's version of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is actually a little boy that offers up the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that he had as an offering, which Jesus then multiplies and feeds the multitude. God takes whatever it is that we have to offer and turns it into something surprising. As we heard last week in the parables of the mustard seed, the yeast, the pearl of great price and hidden treasure, something small and seemingly insignificant can grow into something amazing. God even takes our mistakes and turns them into miracles. God takes what we have, even if it feels very small, blesses it, and multiplies it. This past week, I was on the campus down at United Lutheran Seminary for a reunion, and we were treated to a lecture by retired professor John Hofmeyr. And Professor Hofmeyr was talking about making our way in faith in the world today, which is not an easy thing. And he talked at one point in the lecture about how naming and reframing things can make a big difference. And he told the story about when he and his partner were called to serve a church in California. And prior to their arrival, the church had raised funds to finally build its first church building. But after a series of problems, all that they had to show for their efforts, their time, and their money was a lot paved with a parking lot and a big dirt patch in the middle where the church was supposed to have been built. The parishioners, when they had arrived there, were calling it the vacant lot, the vacant lot. But John's partner suggested that they rename it the Promised Land. And that made all the difference in how they viewed it. It had been a symbol of failure, futility, and incompleteness. But when they renamed it, they began to see its potential. When they renamed it, they recognized that it was holy ground, even if they hadn't been able to do everything they wanted to do at the time. And it brought them hope that one day it would. So, volunteers from the congregation planted a community garden in the patch of ground in the center of that asphalt where the church was supposed to be. They ran irrigation, built up a garden, and donated the fruits of the garden to charity. The youth of the congregation hosted an inline skating event where they could safely skate around the parking lot and raised money for those in need. This vacant lot, this image of an unrealized dream, became a place for community and service for others. It became a promised land, a kind of miracle. As Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It is those little bits of good put all together that overwhelm the world." It's a common thread in the Bible that God chooses people who are willing, despite their flaws and sometimes wild imperfections, and God uses their willingness and whatever it is they have to make a miracle. We think of them as heroes of faith, legends of the Bible, but they are, but only because they were first willing to let God use them and what they had. And we can cultivate this willingness for God to not prejudge what we have to offer or what will happen, but simply to be willing for God and offer ourselves up. To be willing as Mary was willing when the angel appeared to her and announced that she'd have a son, and she said, "Let it be with me according to your word." Part of the practice of our faith is cultivating a willingness for God moment to moment, willing to listen, willing to slow down, to be used to help others, to speak a word, to show mercy, to simply be present and open to God and our neighbor. We think that we have to have it all figured out in advance, and we fear that whatever we know or can do or have to give isn't enough, and so we hold back. But we don't have to know or do or have it all. That's God's job. Our job is to be willing to show up and to offer it. Our life, as imperfect as it may be, though we struggle, is a miracle. This day, this beautiful day, is a miracle. This worship, any worship service, is a miracle. God's gift to us, a sign of God's power and creativity, yes, but also God's mercy and compassion. You are each miraculous in the biblical sense. The story of your life is a miracle story, which points to God, inspires faith, and engenders hope for others and the world. We start small in this world, and we have known joy and loss, love and tragedy. We have experienced the unexpected and the unexplained. We are living through difficult times, but here we are still, perhaps broken, but also blessed by God. And I just want to close with a short reading from Isaiah today, which is an invitation to drink from God's living water, to give ourselves over to the things that truly satisfy, to come to God, to be willing for God, and to rest in God's generous heart. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Amen.